the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the central event of the Christian message. Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus is risen again. I spoke with the children this morning of that great verse. Very simple and yet an incredibly profound statement. Luke 24, verse 6. He is not here, but has risen. I want us to focus on the resurrection this morning, and I've entitled the message, Celebration of Resurrection. And if we're honest, you know, we've got to ask a question. To what extent do we actually celebrate the resurrection? And in preparing this message, I looked at the dictionary to find out the correct definition of celebrate. And this is what the Oxford Online Dictionary says. To publicly acknowledge a significant or happy day or event with a social gathering or enjoyable activity. And I thought, does that summarise how we approach Easter? Does that summarise how we approach this great truth, this great event in history? I want to suggest that as Christians, we find it easy to do the first part, to publicly acknowledge, a significant event, and no one would deny the fact that the resurrection, the raising of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, is anything less than exceedingly significant. But how often do we make it an enjoyable event? Now, many of us will say, oh, of course we're enjoying our time here this morning. And I believe we are. I've purposely chosen hymns that focus on the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've chosen hymns that we can enter into to praise and to worship our God. But let me take you back a fortnight to the Millennium Stadium. There were cheers, there were tears, there were fireworks, there was singing. Why? No, it was a celebration. What were they celebrating? A rugby match had been won. 30 to 40 men at different stages of the game had chased an oval ball around a field, and as a result of it, the championship was maintained. Maybe the Grand Slam was not gained, but people were ecstatic. They were celebrating. They were so happy. They had won the championship. For many in the crowd, and I'm going to be very careful about what I say here, I don't put myself in this position, but the old enemy was defeated. Wales had beaten England, and as a result, they celebrated. And there was joy. But friends, let's be honest. How do we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? The greatest event in history, if you take the whole Easter weekend as a whole, how do we celebrate? Oh yes, these are the truths that we celebrate. Now, let me put this in context. At funerals, we often quote 1 Thessalonians 4, that we do not grieve as others grieve who have no hope. And there would be many of you today who would want to say, okay, Bernard, but we don't grieve like other people. But by the same token, we don't celebrate like other people. And that's right. I don't want a rowdy party. I don't want fireworks. I don't want unnecessary demonstrations of emotion. But I want to ask you this morning, if people were to come into our service as total strangers, would they declare, as Paul encouraged the Corinthians in their worship, would they declare that God is really among us? Would they know this morning that we are celebrating? Would they know that there is an ecstasy about us? It's vital, friends, that our Christianity feeds and informs the mind. It's vital that it teaches us what we should live. And by that I mean it teaches us an ethical pattern. But it is vital also that we experience our Christianity. Christianity should be doctrinal. It should be ethical. It should be experiential. So let's start at the beginning there. Let's celebrate the facts of the resurrection. Let's publicly acknowledge what happened that first Easter morning. We will come to the scriptures, but men who have studied the scriptures have come together and made some great statements. We call them creeds. And in the Apostles' Creed, it says that Christ was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. The Nicene Creed: for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. These men could only reach these facts, these statements, because they had the Bible. They had the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They had the New Testament responses. This morning, we publicly acknowledge the truth. Each of the Gospel writers makes sure that the resurrection is a part of their teaching on the Lord Jesus Christ. We read Luke's account this morning. He told us that it was on the first day of the week at early dawn. And around the world this morning, people would have been up just before dawn in order to celebrate the resurrection with the rising sun. But from Luke's account, I have taken this very profound statement: he is not here, but has risen. Matthew, when he records the resurrection, again tells us that it was at dawn on the first day of the week. He adds the fact that there was an earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. That is the only account that we have of the physical action that happened. God sent an angel. The angel rolled the stone away. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but we talk about Jesus rising from the dead as though it is an action that he accomplished. And yet, can a dead man do anything? The facts are, a dead man can't. A dead man cannot change his state. So we have got this great statement that God sent an angel of the Lord. I want to finish that question a little bit later. But Matthew goes on and says, but the angel said to the woman, to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Jesus was not bound by death, but he rose. So there's a way in which Jesus himself took part in the resurrection. Mark, in his gospel, tells about the women walking to the tomb. And they were walking to the tomb really lacking faith. They weren't expecting the resurrection. They weren't expecting to find the stone rolled away, because we read, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. Something had happened. No human being there to actually do this. No human being witnessed the rolling away of the stone. John 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away. There was a great activity going on. But it isn't only the gospel writers who celebrate, who record the facts, who publicly acknowledge what God did on that first Easter morning. Because Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he was writing to a church that had many problems. And in 1 Corinthians, he says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time." Friends, the resurrection is a publicly acknowledged event. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We are stating the facts. And I want to, in a way, drive this home to each of us. You cannot be a Christian this morning if you do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You have to publicly acknowledge that this is a fact of Christian teaching, but also a fact of history. It's a non-negotiable. We center on the cross and what Christ did to pay our debt. But the cross without the empty grave is not biblical Christianity. The cross is a punishment. The cross is a payment. In effect, and I don't say this lightly, in effect, the empty tomb is a receipt. The price has been accepted. The payment has been made. Death no longer has authority over the believer. And we can thank God for this great statement that the justice of God has been satisfied. Friends, these are the facts. But what do these facts do for us? Do they affect us? Do they change us? Do they move us? Do they help us to rise up in celebration and in praise to our God? True Christianity, as I was saying, is doctrinal. It is ethical. It is experiential. It teaches us. It shows us the way to live. And it affects the way we live. Friends, if your Christianity stops with doctrine, if it stops with teaching, it is not biblical Christianity. It is vital that we understand what we believe, but it is vital that what we believe has an effect on the whole part of, or every part of our being. So, We celebrate today the facts of the resurrection, of what happened 2,000 years ago. But my second heading this morning is, celebrate the power of the resurrection, question mark. Do we live in the certainty of the power of the resurrection? Does the power of the resurrection motivate our living? There may be people here this morning who say, I can cope with a Christianity that challenges me to love God. I can cope with a Christianity that challenges me to love my neighbor as myself, to live in a sacrificial way. But you can't seriously expect me to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, friends. I can expect it. The Bible expects it. It is vital to our experience of Christianity. We celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've got to put that into context. Jesus was not the first person to rise from the dead. In fact, the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, two men went straight to heaven, straight into the presence of God, without dying. But we are also told in the Old Testament that the prophets Elijah and Elisha, for example, raised people from the dead. They were faced with a situation. Each where a child had died, and they sought the power of God, and God raised them from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here on earth, raised people from the dead. He was moved with compassion towards the widow of Nain, as he saw her taking her son to the grave. And he raised him. Jesus was not the first. Only a matter of a week or so before the resurrection of Jesus himself, he had raised Lazarus, who had been in the grave 4 days. But there was something unique about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of these examples that I've given you, there was, if you like, a mediator. Elijah and Elisha sought the power of God. The Lord Jesus Christ stood at the grave of Lazarus and said, come forth. There was somebody who took control. Now, in those records that I read to you earlier, I said to you, he is risen. He has risen. There was a way in which Christ himself conquered death. But it was not Jesus alone who was active in the resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached that great sermon, he said, this Jesus God raised, and of that we are all witnesses. Friends, God was active on the first Easter morning. God sent his angel to roll away the stone. But it was God who, in effect, did what Jesus did at the grave of Lazarus. It was God who said, come forth. And God spoke with the life-giving voice and raised Jesus. Bernard, you can't expect me to believe this. Yes, I do. But if you're struggling with it this morning, I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. Because on that first resurrection morning, there was not a believer in the resurrection amongst what we would describe as Christians. They were all challenged. They were all confused. None of them knew what was going on. If you've got your Bibles in front of you, Luke 24, look at what it says about the women in verse 4. They were perplexed. They were in difficulties. They were at their wits' end. They didn't know what was going on. Here they were walking to the grave with the medicines, the perfumes that would be used for embalming. And there was not an ounce of hope in them. They didn't believe. They didn't expect the resurrection. They may have heard Jesus preaching about it, but it did not change them. Verse 5, having had this picture of heaven, this man in dazzling clothes, what are we told there? They were frightened. And perhaps to put it in the vernacular, in our everyday language, they were frightened stiff. This wasn't just, that was a bit of a surprise. No, they in effect, they didn't even feel that they could move forward. Apparently in the Greek, frightened is put at the beginning of the sentence, emphasizing the fear that gripped them. Frightened they were. And there is this awful situation. And perhaps you're like that this morning. Bernard, I'm afraid that if I believe that Jesus has paid the price of my sin, if I go to work tomorrow or the next day and tell people that I believe that Jesus has been physically raised from the dead, I'm petrified that people are going to think that I've lost something and that I have lost my faculties. You're not alone. Verse 11. But these words seemed to them an idle tale. Nonsense. And I never read that statement without going back to Genesis 19, where Lot had been told that God was going to judge the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels on that occasion said to Lot, have you got any other relatives in this city that you need to warn? He said, well, I've got my sons-in-law, the men who are marked to marry my daughters. And we read, so Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. And he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. And maybe you think like that this morning. Oh, Bernard, you can't be serious. You can't think that Jesus rose. That does fit into the same category as God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. It does, friends. It does fit into the same category as God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Because God will not tolerate unbridled sin. And God will not deal with your sin or my sin outside of the cross and of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tragically, Lot's sons-in-law lived long enough to realize that Lot was not jesting, that it was not an idle tale. Friends, I trust that no one here this morning will live long enough to realize that the resurrection is not an idle tale, but that they will come to publicly acknowledge. And then again, in verse 11, we are told that they did not believe. Was that just an intellectual fact, no, friends. It's the difference between eternal life and eternal judgment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Even Peter, we're told that when he ran to the tomb, he left marveling, wondering, a mixture of, this is absolutely amazing. He's not there. The grave clothes are there, but he is not there. But what's going on? What does this mean? Friends, celebrate the power of the resurrection? Question mark. You're not alone in your skepticism. You're not alone in your confusion. But these people were eventually convinced so thoroughly that it enabled them to go out and to tell other people. And in a short period of time, they were accused of turning the world upside down. Why? Because the power that raised Jesus from the dead was the same power that came into the lives of these people, gave them new life, and equipped them to preach the gospel and to witness to other people. It had an effect on them. It changed the way they lived. They no longer lived according to their own understanding. They no longer lived and locked themselves into the idea, I am going to work out my salvation. No. They came to the point and they were saying, I will not move on from here without God's help. God filled them. First of all, with an understanding of the resurrection. And then he filled them with the power of the resurrection. The resurrection, power that is able to change the lives of all who believe. The third point this morning is enjoy the reality of the resurrection. Celebration of the resurrection. If we're celebrating, we are delighted. This morning, we had a phone call at 8:40. Another baby has been born. Oh, that's wonderful news. No, that is terrific. Marvellous. Another child has been born into our wider family. And we rejoiced in it. Friends, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's enjoy the fact that the grave is not the end. Have you ever thought about the realities, the implications of the resurrection? If Jesus died and rose again, then death is not the end. If you take the Stoic approach to life, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, you're deluded. The resurrection tells us that there is life beyond the grave. Friends, if one man has died and has risen again, the facts are there is life beyond the grave and there is life for everybody beyond the grave. I personally feel as though I'm getting rapidly to the point where I understand how short life actually is. Even if we, like Sylvia's mum, live to reach our 100th year, 100 years is very short in the light of eternity. Tonight, God willing, I hope to speak a little bit more about our experience of the resurrection. But I need to ask you now, do you know the reality of the comfort that comes from the promises related to the resurrection? Paul wrote to the Colossian church and he said this, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Friend, let me ask you this morning, are you struggling to make the most of your life? Or are you saying, "I have failed. I have come short of the glory of God, and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask him to forgive me, and I surrender my life to him, so that in a way my life becomes hidden in him. And being hidden in him, I have the assurance that I will be raised again." There's a way in which the Christian can say, not "I will be raised again," but "I am raised again." Where is Christ? Christ is in heaven. Christ is not in the grave. Christ has conquered. Where are we as Christians? We are in Christ. If we are in Christ, where are we? In effect, we are in heaven. Jesus said before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to his sisters, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? He is not here, but has risen. Let's today, and every Sunday, and every day of our lives, celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.